And welcome in to the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We have got a great show lined up for you today. We'll talk about the Titans and the Ravens. Look ahead to that matchup all show long. Former Titans running back Chris Johnson joins us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the matchup with him and also take a look back at Derrick Henry's journey to 2,000 yards. So looking forward to that conversation. Adam Kaplan with SiriusXM, NFL Insider. He'll join us at 9 o'clock. And then at 9:30, former Titans and Ravens safety Bernard Pollard will join us here on the show. So lots to get to and lots to look forward to today. Let's bring in Joe Rexroad to the show, who somehow managed yesterday to upset the entire city of Buffalo. Way to go, Joe. It was quite the accomplishment for you.
Well, I mean, I guess we can give Charles some of the credit for that.
That's
for
true.
What he, but yeah, clearly that was a bad tweet on my part. Charles never said anyone didn't like Daboll or that he didn't have scheme. What's the term? Scheme
versatility. Yes.
Scheme versatility. So apparent, but just, I mean, the fanboy Bills Mafia Twitter.
Whew. They took that as like a personal affront on Daboll and like his entire family. It was unbelievable, the reaction to that yesterday.
Yeah, finally Charles texted me. He's like, "What'd you do, man?" I'm like, "Yeah, I don't know. Jeez,
get better at Twitter, so, Joe."
Just like, this is all on you, Charles.
This is your fault.
You're the one that said
all
it, Charles.
Your fault. but in all seriousness, when you guys read my tweet, if you go back to it, if you want right now, do you read that as like that's a slight to Daboll?
No.
The fact that Arthur Smith's scheme versatility is light does not say Daboll doesn't have it. I think that's way reading into the words that are there, which is one of the many problems with Twitter.
It is one of the many problems with Twitter, and it was amazing how it went from, okay, Arthur Smith is the number one candidate and talking about his scheme versatility, to some said, all right, that's a direct shot at Brian Daboll, and other Bills fans are like, you know what? That's great. That means that Daboll's not going to get a head coaching job, even though there are six of them open, and Arthur right. Smith is one person.
Well, and again, if those GMs had Daboll second, then what's going to happen? I mean, like if someone said, yeah, you know, this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, and then Daboll, then you're like, all right. But it's like, no. Like your guy's still right at the top of the list, and this is two GMs.
I just continue to marvel at Rex Rhodes' ability to get into it on Twitter. This time, not his fault. Not his fault at all. Buffalo fans, they overreacted. So, Joe now hated in the city of Buffalo, and we can move on with our day today. It was impressive to watch yesterday on Twitter. Joe, looking ahead to the game on Sunday against the Ravens. We've got a lot to talk about today on that front. But obviously, the Titans have had some success against the Ravens as of late. They win in the playoffs last year. They win in overtime in dramatic fashion earlier in the season this year. How much do you think revenge is on the mind of the Baltimore Ravens heading into this game?
I mean, I'm sure it's something that people talk about, you know. I mean, it's the fact that they lost, but also they got kind of physically pushed around. I mean, of course it's going to be brought up. You know, last year's going to be brought up, the way this year's game ended, you know. So I mean, yeah, I always struggle with that having more of a motivating impact on someone than, hey, it's a playoff game in the NFL. You know, like how does revenge factor more than you're in the playoffs and you're playing in a playoff game? But I also know that teams use everything. Teams use it. Coaches use it. They try to avoid giving it to the other side. So I'm sure they'll be using it.
And you mentioned, I mean, this is going to be brought up for the Ravens every time they play the Titans until the story is kind of going differently and the Ravens are able to come out with a win with Lamar Jackson at quarterback. But John Harbaugh was asked about it in his press conference, just talking about how much of a factor revenge could play in this matchup against the Titans. Here's what John Harbaugh had to say.
I know you guys don't like to dwell too much on history, but a lot of fans, when they saw the matchup with the Titans, they remember last year with the playoff game, just a year ago around this time. Do you feel that, as far as with the players, is there any sort of revenge factor from last year's playoff loss?
Yeah, I think we're just focused on the game. You know, really, previous games really have little bearing. I mean, we've played them many times over the years. We were on the bus ride back, and Eric and Ozzie were talking about 2000, 2003, 2006, 2008. You know, you go back to, 2018. I mean, there's just been a lot of games over the years. It's got some history. The rivalry does, sure. But what impact does any of that have on the next game? We just have to go play our best game of the year. That's what we're preparing to try to do.
And I think it's a different situation for the Ravens heading into this game, Joe. When you factor in the way that they've been playing, we've talked about it. They've won five games in a row, and they feel hot right now. I mean, their offense is humming along. They've been running the ball a lot better. So I think if you're a Ravens player and this is something that you just constantly think about, the playoff game last year, and you want to talk about trying to go out there and get revenge in the game, that's fine. But I think sometimes that can take away from your actual focus on the field. You can get too hyped up and too caught up and stuff like that. If I'm the Ravens, I'm focusing in on what I've done the last 5 weeks and trying to continue to build on that on Sunday against the Titans, because they've looked awfully good as of late.
They have. Of course, they looked incredible going into the playoffs last year, 14-2. And I mean, I don't even know when their last loss was last year, but still very different when you talk about pressure. You're talking about one seed, sit out a week. Home night game, you know, you're expected to just thump this upstart six seed that somehow got to this game, and then go have a showdown with Kansas City. You know, and now, even though they're playing well and they're favored, which is interesting in this game, I don't hear anybody picking the Ravens to go to the Super Bowl. You know, I think there's very much this. I think if there's another kind of unstated factor here beyond like revenge and like Harbaugh said, the history, I mean, I think that is more of a fan thing, but it's the Lamar Jackson prove people that what you do, you know, can win in the playoffs. I mean, obviously he's had two chances, he's 0-2, but people are going to say that until you do it. So I think that's another, you know, storyline, but also another factor in that locker room.
So we heard John Harbaugh kind of downplay the idea that this game is a revenge game for the Baltimore Ravens. But Dan Graziano has kind of a different take on it. He says that the Ravens players are absolutely feeling revenge as a part of a factor of this game against the Titans. Here's what Dan Graziano had to say.
Yeah, I talked to Mark Andrews, their tight end, about the differences, and he actually said, we feel like we're more battle-hardened this time around. Obviously, you know, you'd like to be 14-2 in the one seed every year, but part of the benefit of having to fight your way in is maybe you have learned some of those lessons. So, and after the game, we interviewed J.K. Dobbins, and you know, he's a rookie, but I asked him, what are they saying about last year? And he said, we don't want to be one and done. So obviously it's a team with a significant mentality about what happened last year.
So that was Dan Graziano. And it's interesting there, Joe, you think about at one point the Ravens are 6-5 and you're wondering kind of what the future is going to look like. Were they falling apart at the seams offensively? And then they roll off five straight and needed all five of those to finish 11-5 and get the five seed in the AFC. We saw, I mean, something similar with the Titans last year and how hot they got down the stretch and how that translated into the playoffs. So could this Ravens team, as crazy as it sounds, I know they were 14-2 last year and that offense was humming along, could this Ravens team potentially be more dangerous this year given the role that they've been on and how they've had to kind of fight their way into the playoffs this year?
Well, look, I mean, I still think on paper this Ravens team is better than last year's Ravens team. You know, obviously they didn't have the straight dominance on offense that they did last year. They didn't have the overall dominance, but on paper, I think they're a better team. I mean, they did a lot in the offseason to shore up their defense, and I think that when they're all together, this is one of the best collections of talent defensively in the NFL. Obviously, Calais Campbell, Brandon Williams, those guys are very important players. They were not in the first meeting between these teams. They are expected to play Sunday. Yeah, I mean, that's a big deal. Now, we don't know about Ngakoue. That's something to really watch this week, Yannick Ngakoue. I mean, think about the guys they have on D now that they didn't last year. And then they don't have Earl Thomas running his mouth like they did last year. You know,
not going to be a lead blocker either in this game. A loss for the Titans on offense.
Derek's going to have to find someone else to play fullback for him. But I think they are, you know, it's, and I don't know if that means that last year's team was fool's gold, but I think a lot of the NFL to some extent maybe caught up with them, and maybe the Titans helped that happen a little bit with their playoff win. But it seems like maybe they've now countered a little bit and adjusted. And again, one interesting thing here is I think there was a big focus this year on the passing game has to become more refined, has to be more efficient, more used. And I agree with that in general. Like Lamar Jackson, like he can't, the dude can't have 20 carries. I mean, he rushed for 1,000 yards this year. That's great, but he's still your quarterback. You know, you got to find a balance for that. But the thing is, hey, down the stretch, they went back to that and it worked really well. So now maybe that doesn't then work again in the playoffs. You still have to have offensive balance. But I think because of their defense, you know, if they can get out of this game Sunday, and if that defense, if Campbell and Williams make a huge difference in stopping Henry, and they get out of this game, and I think they have one of the best defenses in the field.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in and says, I honestly feel the Ravens fear us more than we fear them due to how we've been manhandling them the past couple of years. So believe me, the Ravens will be focused and motivated for this game. You've got to stay focused if you're the Titans. I would hope focus is not going to be the issue for the Titans this week in a playoff game. But what do you think of those comments there by Ron that maybe the Ravens a little intimidated by Derrick Henry and this Titans team, given the success that they've had against them the last couple of matchups?
Yeah, I don't necessarily buy that. Look, I mean, he carved them up in the playoffs last year. I mean, 195 in that game, and it was – and that, you know, the thing that that stands out to me, the image for me, like from the press box last year in Baltimore, is just that offensive line just getting such push on every running play, you know. And that's the thing. First of all, that offensive line on paper, again, on paper, but was much better than the one that we're talking about right now. It had Taylor Lewan. It had Jack Conklin. It had Roger Saffold. And all three of those guys, you know, well, two of them certainly will not be out there. And maybe all three of those guys will not be out there on Sunday. And they've done a heck of a job, a tremendous job anyway, but that was not just Derrick Henry run all over the Ravens. That was the offensive line dominating that defensive front. They did things, I think, as a direct response to that game. So I don't think and they're better. They should be better. We'll see how it works out Sunday. But I don't think that they are intimidated. I think, if anything, that is a motivator. I mean, I don't remember all the defensive backs that A.J. Brown decided to just, like, lift up and slam into the end zone, but those guys should be pretty – like, are they intimidated by A.J. Brown, or do they want to hit him? Now, they may take another L like that again Sunday, but I don't necessarily buy the intimidation thing.
So how much pressure is on Lamar Jackson heading into this game for the Ravens, and is that good news or bad news for the Tennessee Titans? We'll discuss when we come back. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And there are some interesting odds out there on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And Joe, we're looking ahead to Wild Card Weekend, and you know some of the special, I guess, boosts that they've got thrown out there, and the odds boost for, you know, crazy things like who's going to get the most receiving yards, who's going to finish the weekend with the most rushing yards. There's also an option for the highest scoring team. Who will be the highest scoring team in NFL Wild Card Weekend? So, Joe, if you had to guess, just based on the matchups in Wild Card Weekend, obviously with the Packers not playing, the Chiefs not playing this weekend, who would be the top five teams that you think would have a chance to finish the weekend as the highest scoring teams of the weekend?
You want my top five?
Yeah, top five.
Okay, well, I mean, I do quickly think of the Ravens and Titans.
Okay.
So, I mean, they're both in my top five. You know, I'm looking around. The Bucs-Washington is interesting because, I mean, look, the Bucs could light them up. But, I mean, that defensive line is special, you know, for Washington. Rams-Seahawks just feels like a lower-scoring game. I mean, look, I'm going to go Bills, even though I think the Colts have a chance defensively, but the Bills are playing. I mean, it's hard not to pick the Bills.
They did just put up 56.
They did indeed, to the apparently fraudulent Dolphins. You know, I'm still going to go Saints too, even though the Bears have been good defensively. I would make the Saints my fourth, and you know, I'll go with the Bucks. I'll give it to Brady for some deep shots and make that the five. But I mean, I think you start the conversation with this game and then the Bills.
Well, it's interesting you say that and bring that up, because I'm looking at the top five on the FanDuel Sportsbook, and at number one, they do have the Baltimore Ravens as the best odds to have the highest scoring weekend in the NFL. Odds are plus 470 on that. So I think that speaks both to how well the Ravens offense has been playing as of late and what Vegas thinks about the Titans defense. And if you've watched them play, it's hard not to agree with Vegas on that front. The Buffalo Bills are at number two.
Well, Vegas knows.
Oh, yeah, they know. They're well aware. The Buffalo Bills are number two on this list. The New Orleans Saints are at three. The Buccaneers at four. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are at number five on this list. So the Tennessee Titans do not appear on the list until number six at odds of plus 900 to have the highest scoring weekend in the NFL. So that's surprising to me. I know, you know, Cleveland got, you know, just ravaged yesterday with some COVID news, and it's going to be very fascinating to see what that game looks like. But the Titans coming in at number six on FanDuel Sportsbook in terms of the odds of having the highest scoring weekend in the NFL. That, to me, not very good news for the Titans.
Yeah, so you've got a point spread, which, what is it, 4.5? Is that where it is right now? It's bumped up from 3.5, 4.5?
I believe the last time, it is now at 3.
Oh, so it's okay. Money going back on the Titans. But so you got the point spread, but from this perspective, that tells me that FanDuel Sportsbook expects the Titans to be blown out, right?
Yeah. mean,
to lose comfortably in this game.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting. Like, I'm not surprised that the Ravens have the best odds. Like I said, based on the way their offense is playing and the Titans' defense has been bad, even though they have matched up pretty well against the Ravens in the last couple of matchups. But for the Titans not to be in the top five there and for the Steelers to be in the top five, I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember, obviously, the Browns lose their head coach / play caller. That's big.
Yeah.
But are there defensive issues with COVID for them? I haven't seen the players. I know, obviously, Olivier Vernon is hurt.
Right.
So that's, and Denzel Ward's out. So I guess there's two.
Are there defensive issues enough for Ben Roethlisberger to come out there and just light it up, though? I don't know. I mean, that'll be
right.
Very interesting to see in that game. But, you know, I think if you're the Titans, you're going to have to kind of go into this game knowing you're going to have to get into the 30s on the scoreboard, I think, to give you a chance. So I think we've known that all season long. We certainly know that about this offense heading into the playoffs. And the other part of that conversation, when you talk about the Ravens' offense, there's a lot of pressure, I think, on Lamar Jackson heading into this game. There's a narrative out there that, you know, he's been a great player in the regular season. Obviously, he's won a league MVP, and that offense at a time last year looked like it was borderline unstoppable. But in the playoffs, maybe that offense doesn't work, and they don't have what it takes to get it done. Now, I will say this, Joe. It's happened twice. So it's not like there's this long laundry list of history with Lamar Jackson in the playoffs.
Exactly.
The first one was his rookie year. The last one, the Titans had a great game. You know, you look at the stats, he actually finished with a pretty good game in that game, Lamar Jackson, but some big turnovers, some bad plays at key moments in that game. But it's not like there's this long laundry list of playoff just futility by Lamar Jackson and this Ravens offense. But I do think, from a national perspective, looking at him and kind of determining what his legacy is going to be until he gets it done in the playoffs, there's always going to be that talking point around him.
Yeah, and listen, and what it is that people don't want to believe that the conventional way is not the right way. I mean, look, this goes to the rant yesterday about the don't pay the running back, because let's all have the same opinion, because a few guys have been hurt in a row. This is, and frankly, these two teams both buck the trend, right? There's people like. And when the Chargers beat the Ravens, I think they played like seven defensive backs in that game. Like they had a kind of a funky defensive plan, and it worked. It worked really well. And obviously the Ravens really, the response to that was the run game they had last year, you know, so they're responding to these playoff losses. But the Titans also are the team that people are like, oh, you know, running the football. This is a passing league. That's what everyone wants to be. Like, only the teams, you know, that throw 45 times a game, that, you know, have quarterbacks who throw for 400 yards, those are the teams that are allowed to be good, because that's the NFL now. So I actually like both these teams from that perspective of, you know what, it's okay to do things a little bit differently, and sometimes that can work too. Obviously, it's more different with the Ravens when you're talking about really putting together an option offense. That's always been considered, just forget about it in this league. The defenses are too fast and athletic. It's not going to work. Well, we see that it can work. And obviously it's a marriage of option and, you know, traditional offense, but the Titans right now are also a weirdo in the NFL. You know, they're the run the ball as much as they do, and it works for them too. So this is the game between two types of teams that I like how they buck the trends. But yeah, Lamar personally, there's a lot on him, and you're right, Robbie. It is overblown. Two freaking games.
Yeah, it's been amazing, and it's like there's this 10-year history of him just not being able to get it done in the playoffs. But that's today's NFL. That's today's world, really, when it comes down to it. It's all about what have you done for me lately, and that, Lamar Jackson's certainly going to have pressure on him heading into this game. How is that going to affect the way that he plays in this game? ESPN's Marcus Spears expects Lamar Jackson to respond well to this pressure heading into the game against the Titans.
I expect Lamar Jackson to ball. I think this season kind of grew up these guys. If you think about it, fellas, like, Lamar has been on kind of a magical fairy tale ride, not only because of his performance, but because of the success of the team. And maybe that doesn't play well with young guys going into the playoffs. I think this season in particular for Lamar Jackson has really been his grow up season, his coming out season. Yeah, he was the MVP, and people say, Marcus, you crazy. But no, adversity hits different. It lets you figure a lot of things out. A lot of the talk about the offense, some of the losses down the road, and then they needed to win out in order to even get into the playoffs. So I think this is going to bode well not only for Lamar, but for the Baltimore Ravens as a whole.
So again, that's Marcus Spears from ESPN. And Joe, another talking point there of the adversity, kind of how difficult this season was at times for the Ravens, maybe ends up helping Lamar Jackson and that offense in the long run. I don't know whether or not I completely buy that. I'm interested to see how they're able to kind of adjust to the Titans and their game plan against them, and how, what's worked against them in this game coming up on Sunday. But yet another talking point there of maybe the adversity and all of the you know, bickering back and forth, and just how things didn't work offensively halfway through the season this year for Baltimore. Maybe that ultimately is a good thing for Lamar Jackson and this offense, that they've come through it on the other side.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the whole team, it seems like, because obviously there was a lot of talk like, holy cow, we were wondering if this was going to be, you know, the one or the two this year. And I mean, it was supposed to be Chiefs, Ravens, then who's third. And at that point, it's like, they're not going to make the playoffs, you know? So you go through that. And like you said, some of the bickering and everything like that, kind of figuring out who you are. They've come out on the other side. They're playing well. I'm sure it all helps, you know? And it's just interesting because I think with the Titans last year and this year, although the rush numbers were good, that's really what the Titans did. The Titans did a good job of stopping the run. They did not let them run wild. And that is what they are doing lately. And it seems like, again, they're back to, you know what? What does Lamar do best? Let's do it. I mean, does that change in the playoffs? You know, I don't know. I mean, I do think that they look more like they did last year, and that's probably a good thing, even though the one time we saw it in the playoffs, it didn't work. Again, 2 4th-and-1 stops, a tipped pick, another pick that was a bad pass, and then the Titans offense dominating. You know, all those things, a 14-0 deficit, all those things combined. I mean, that isn't all, oh, the offense stinks and doesn't work in the playoffs. It was a lot of different things that went into that loss.
And it's been interesting. Like, we talked to Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports earlier in the season about the Ravens offense and the struggles under Greg Roman, and maybe teams around the league figuring that offense out. And it just looks different now. It looks like it did last year at this point, and that they've gotten back to doing the things that they do well. And we talked to Charles yesterday about this matchup for the Titans going up against Lamar Jackson in that offense and what he expects out of the Ravens in this game. Here's what Charles Robinson had to say.
A game like this, what I'm looking at is this is that opportunity for Lamar Jackson to once again show people, hey, you know what, I can throw. Like, I'm a guy, I don't have to expose myself and run for 100 and 125, 150 yards for us to have a successful offense. You know, Tennessee's, because of, you know, what we've talked about, you know, the inability to get a pass rush completed and kind of where they are in terms of DVOA on defense, you know, this is the game that gives Lamar Jackson the opportunity to show people, oh, he can throw the football. And I think they're doing that a little bit better. I don't like this being a game where you have to have Lamar, again, running for 150 yards for your offense to function correctly. This should be a game where he can throw the football. If he can't, I don't know that Baltimore can beat Tennessee with him having to be the guy who's running the ball for 150 yards. He's going to get hurt eventually. Like, he's gotten banged up a few times this season, and it's not the kind of game where he should have to expose himself like that.
So it's interesting. That's Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. And, Joe, we've talked about this being a different matchup for the Titans and maybe pass rush not as big of a concern in this game as it would be in other matchups, like against, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen, all these guys that can just absolutely kill you from the pocket. But TD, our man Teron Davenport, threw out an interesting stat yesterday coming from ESPN Stats and Info. The Titans defense has allowed 36 passing touchdowns this season. That ties them with the 2008 Cardinals for the most ever surrendered by a playoff team. So certainly the Titans defense has struggled against the pass this year.
So there's, you know, the Titans do game notes every week, and they always have like notes from the last game. You know, it's always interesting because there's things that maybe you didn't realize, milestones and whatever. It's a long list, and it's a full page basically, and it's all offense. there's one line at the end. There's one line at the very end. It's like, and the Titans had a season high 4 sacks, and that's it. I mean, so that's where things are. It's like, you know, it's there's the good part of the team and the bad part of the team. And the bad part of the team is pretty bad.
And speaking of the good part of the team, Derrick Henry, maybe the best part of the team for the Titans heading into the playoffs. Has there ever been another athlete in Nashville pro sports that's been as popular as Derrick Henry is right now? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Make sure you're tuning in to this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue, Gary Force Acura, and Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey. This week's game will be an AFC wildcard matchup as the Indianapolis Colts take on the Buffalo Bills on Saturday. Kickoff is at 12:05 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth are with you on this Wednesday morning. We're going to have Chris Johnson, former Titans running back, joining us at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to that discussion with him. And part of the discussion that we'll have with Chris Johnson is, of course, Derrick Henry and how successful he's been the last couple of seasons for the Titans. He passes the 2,000-yard mark this year on the ground. And right now, from the stiff arms to how successful he's been in driving the team to the AFC title game last year, getting 2,000 yards this year, Derrick Henry is at the height of his popularity right now in Nashville, Tennessee. Titans fans love Derrick Henry. What's not to love about the way that he's played for this team? He's been great off the field as well, a very likable human being in this community. And it got us asking the question, has there ever been an athlete in Nashville pro sports as popular as Derrick Henry is at this time? And that's our poll question of the day on Twitter at 102.5 The Game. Which athlete in Nashville pro sports history was the most popular at the peak of their stardom? And the options are Steve McNair / Eddie George in the early 2000s, Chris Johnson, CJ2K, in 2008 and 2009, Pecorine during the 2017 Stanley Cup final run, or Derrick Henry right now in the present day. We've already got 180 votes in, 64% so far going with Steve McNair and Eddie George in the early 2000s, 19% going with Pecorine in the 2017 Cup run, 14% going with Derrick Henry right now, and just 3% going with Chris Johnson in 2008 and 2009. So, Joe, the early return, still a long way to go. I'm surprised Derrick Henry's not a little bit higher on that list.
So I really don't want to make it like a daily thing where I complain about Ryan Poore's poll.
But you're going
but
to.
I will again today. So how are we separating McNair and Eddie George?
Don't complain about my poll.
I mean, how do we separate McNair and Eddie George? Those guys don't deserve their own category?
They're linked together forever. It's Steve and Eddie.
Yeah.
In the Titans heyday, everyone links them together, Steve and Eddie.
Yeah. I would a couple years ago, and this is the height of Pekka's popularity, I tried to do something for the Tennessean on, like, is Pekka the most popular athlete of all time? And in talking to as many people as I could who were here and stuff like that, especially, you know, covering those teams, the overwhelming consensus was that McNair would be the guy. McNair is number one. I understand you're saying they're linked, but I mean that's what I think a lot of people would tell you, that Steve McNair and Pekka Rinne would be your top two contenders. And look, I think Eddie George probably third, right? I don't know, but that's how I have looked at it. I think Pekka Rinne. Well, I the way I kind of looked at it is, like, if he wins a cup, then he's got to be number one over McNair, you know. Just the way – now, again, that's just like achievement versus how do you really gauge popularity. You're also talking bigger audience football, you know, versus hockey. But I've looked at it like McNair has been number one, which – so, like, when people are voting, if you're giving them both, I mean, I think that's going to be a runaway winner.
Well, so far it is a runaway winner, 64% of the vote. I will say Derrick Henry has garnered another percent since we've started talking about this here on the segment. But Derrick Henry, I mean, it's a different time, and that's why this, to me, is an interesting question, because, number one, Nashville's a much different city right now. A lot of people have moved here since the days of Steve McNair and Eddie George playing in the early 2000s, which you've also got social media, and you've got more access, and I guess more availability to your athletes than ever before. You can see them on a daily basis if you really want to, whether it's a Zoom call or monitoring their social media pages and just the highlights that have been out there from Derrick Henry, from the 99-yard runs to the stiff arms, everything in between. He's obviously very popular here in the city and among Titans fans. I think the Alabama factor plays into it as well. There are a lot of Alabama fans here in this city. So I do wonder how close he is to Steve McNair, Eddie George, and their heyday, just because of how different now the city is and how many more people are here.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a good question. And I think nationally, you know, Derrick Henry has more of a visibility probably than those guys did,
yeah,
even during their heyday. I know McNair was co-MVP, and he was a great player. He was a great player in a Super Bowl, you know, so that's visibility. But, you know, just even the Heisman House commercials and various other endorsements, and just the, you know, when you do things like this that are going to force you into the ESPN top 10 or the, you know, the Sunday Night Football in America, whatever, it's like, okay, you're going to spend a whole segment on this, or let's talk for 2 weeks about this stiff arm to Josh Norman, stuff like that. Also, that's more outside Nashville, but I still think it has a factor in this too. I can't imagine, again, like I'm coming from not being here then when some of these guys were here, but I can't imagine much more love for an athlete than there is right now in Nashville for Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the crazy part is obviously he's got an opportunity to continue to build on that in this playoff run here and over the next few years as he's here as a member of the Titans. I think also, you know, there's something to Steve McNair and Eddie George's credit about, you know, kind of that first run of being here. You're brand new to town, and in the first year you have immediate success. You're going to the Super Bowl in year one as a member of the Tennessee Titans, switching over from the Oilers. And just how magical that was. I think about Steve McNair's final drive, you know, Eddie George. And I think the difference between Derrick Henry and Eddie George, obviously I think Henry is a better player and a better running back, and we've seen that in terms of just the monstrous numbers that he's able to put up. But Eddie George was way more of a vocal guy, I think, and fans could see that. Like, you could see Eddie George lining people right up on the sideline. He was the one screaming in the huddle. He was the one standing up on the bench on the sideline, waving the towel, waving his hands up in the air to the fans to try to get them fired up. So, George, obviously a great player, but also I think equally a great leader. And not to say Derrick Henry's not, because I do think Derrick Henry's a good leader, but he's certainly not as vocal, at least publicly, as Eddie George was. Not really even close.
Yeah. No, Eddie George was the vocal guy. Still, I mean, Eddie George just has that personality that endears himself to people. You know, and Henry is – it's interesting with Henry because he's very much – unfortunately, Henry, when it comes to the media stuff, he hates it, and so he doesn't show his personality hardly at all.
Right.
I mean, it's an obligation that he – and again, I'm not saying you got to be like, you know, doing a comedy routine during press conferences, but you see the difference with him, you know, in the locker room when we were in there and on the sideline, things like that. I mean, he's very respected. He's got a fun personality, and sometimes that, you know, can be vocal too. You don't see it, you know, at the obligated times when he talks to media / fans. But that also, I mean, to me, it's like, you know, when you're what he is as a player right now, and it's just like you get close to the goal line, everybody's chanting his name, or, you know, just he makes a play that's just a ridiculous play that, I mean, some of these plays he made the last few years, these plays are going to be replayed over and over again. He's got to be the most replayed Titan, I'll bet you. You know, whenever you can actually judge that, he's got four or five plays already that have got to be as much rotation as any Titan has ever had. I'd be willing to bet that, and that all that stuff is part of it too.
So, how close is Derrick Henry to becoming the most legendary Titan of all time? Is he close to passing Steve McNair and Eddie George on that list? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, taking you through this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking about Derrick Henry and where exactly he fits in right now in Titans history in terms of the most legendary players. And Joe, it's interesting, like when you talk about specifically just the Titans and not going all the way back to the Houston Oilers days, when you talk about the Titans in this franchise, the conversation always starts with Steve McNair and Eddie George. And deservedly so. We know how important those two guys were to kind of building the foundation of this franchise and how much success they had on the field together early on, right from the jump here in Nashville. But how close do we think Derrick Henry is to getting in that conversation? Is he already in that conversation with Steve McNair and Eddie George? And if not, what do you think he has to do to get there at this point?
Well, is there any way to measure this? Like, you know, is there any way to quantify this?
Well, we got a poll question.
That's true.
Ryan Poore's lovely poll question that you continue to just destroy at every chance you get.
Well, like, I mean, Chris Johnson, hey, by the way, it's awesome that we have Chris Johnson on the show later. Yeah. Awesome player. But like Chris Johnson getting his own category, he should not have gotten that over Eddie George, right?
Here we go. Just more shots. I love it.
I don't understand where this is all coming from. I don't understand where all this is coming from.
There's a lot of hatred here.
I mean, good grief.
Well, I'm just telling you, like, Eddie George, it might be – I mean, I actually would love to see the results between McNair and George for one, but those are your top two. Your top two shouldn't be grouped together. Your top two should – like, your last by far – I mean, it's good to include another era with Chris Johnson, and he was a great player. And it's funny because Chris Johnson is a great example of also highlights galore. Like, he was a guy who was on ESPN Top 10. He was a guy who was, you know, on Sunday Night Football in America, all that stuff. But didn't resonate probably because, you know, the winning and because of, even though they had the one great year in the regular season, but also probably a little bit of personality. But, I mean, he's going to be a distant fourth in this poll, right?
Let's put up a new poll question. Who hates Joe Rexroad more, the city of Buffalo or Ryan Porth?
I mean, we're going for the different eras there, Joe. And
yeah,
and Chris Johnson and you know, all of these individuals included in this poll that you just absolutely hate.
Eviscerated.
The common thread for all of them is that when they were at their peak stardom, A, they were a superstar within their leagues, within their sports, and they could do no wrong in this city. When Steve and Eddie in the early 2000s, when they were in the middle of the Titans' heyday, they could do no wrong. They still, you know, even if Steve McNair was still alive today, those two can do no wrong. CJ2K in 08 and 09, when he was a highlight reel waiting to happen, could do no wrong. There were 28 jerseys everywhere inside Nissan Stadium or whatever it was called back then. Pecorine, 2017 Cup run, could do no wrong. He got lit up like a Christmas tree in Pittsburgh in games 1 and 2. And then they come back home, and that whole arena during warmups is chanting his name. And then right now, with Derrick Henry, I mean, it's like every single stiff arm or long run or big highlight that he has, it's like he just goes to this next level with Titans fans. And it's getting right to a point now where Derrick Henry is another playoff run where he is amazing. He's another playoff run away from being right there knocking on the door for Steve McNair and Eddie George in terms of overall stardom and popularity with Titans fans.
Yeah. In your defense.
Thank you.
This is where Twitter needs, like when they're limited to four is a problem. But we're also still talking about individuals. But I hear everything you're saying, and I think that one obvious thing, which is not now, is, you know, if at some point Derrick Henry gets to the Hall of Fame, then, you know, that separates him, that elevates him. If some point Derrick Henry wins a Super Bowl, obviously too. But even now, I think it's worth this discussion because he is overwhelmingly the most popular athlete here. And you talk about jerseys. There were a lot of eights. There were a lot of eights when I got here. Now, there's still some eights, you know, walking around. But the 22s are the 22s have taken over the world here.
And 17s.
I saw some eights on clearance in a local establishment the other day.
If you go on fanatics.com and look at the clearance for Titans.
Yeah, if you ever wanted some.
About 90% of it is Marcus Mariota.
Really good prices right now on those.
Well, got to get a shot in at Mariota.
If you're going to get a shot in at Porth's poll questions every day, I'm certainly taking one at Marcus every single day.
When you bring up Hall of Fame, though, right now I would buy stock in Derrick Henry making the Hall of Fame versus what Eddie George and Steve McNair, the chances that they would have. I mean, Derrick Henry right now has a better shot at making the Hall of Fame than those two ever have or will.
Yeah, I would agree. And look, I mean, I think both of those guys are, I mean, I think they both have cases. I just don't think they're going to get in. And I think when they retired, I think both had cases. Like, I don't remember what the discussion or, you know, the coverage of that was at the time, but I imagine there was a lot of talk about, have they done enough to get to the Hall of Fame, right?
Oh yeah.
And I don't know if it was overwhelmingly like, no, not quite, but it was probably more like, maybe it'll be close, you know? So like Derrick Henry has a lot of work to get to that. I mean, if he retired today, he's not making the Hall of Fame, but I agree. I would buy that stock too. He's on the trajectory. I mean, there's so many different ways to slice up these numbers. Something I wrote for today, I went through his 5,000. Okay, so it's 5,860 yards, which again is 100th in NFL history right now. So he has gained 4,162 of those since he quote unquote became Derrick Henry. So in other words, starting with that Jacksonville night, okay, the 238 yards, a 99-yard run, which was exactly, by the way, 2 years and a month ago today. He's gotten 4,162 of his 5,860. And that doesn't include, you know, the big thing for him, the 446 in the playoffs last year in three games. Yeah. And he had a 150-yard game when he wasn't even he was still backup, kind of every once in a while make a big play, Derrick Henry in 17. He goes and has 150 in that win at Kansas City, which they don't win without him. So as a playoff performer, I mean, he is, I mean, he's doing big time stuff already.
So what's it going to take for Derrick Henry to get to that point? Because obviously when you talk about Steve McNair and Eddie George, the one thing they have that Derrick Henry does not have is an appearance in the Super Bowl. Now, I think it would be even a much more different conversation if they won that Super Bowl, but is it going to take at some point Derrick Henry and this Titans team right now getting to the Super Bowl for him to ultimately pass Steve McNair and Eddie George in terms of Titans legends, or would that be the case only if McNair and George found a way to win that Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, look, I like if Derrick Henry keeps having incredible seasons and he stacks them up and he ends up with this. I mean, let's talk about another back in this franchise's history. Earl Campbell never played in a Super Bowl. We still talk about Earl Campbell a lot, right? I mean, if you're an all-time great player, I mean, Barry Sanders won one playoff game. He was a part of the Lions' one playoff win since 1957. But yeah, I don't think you have to do that stuff. I do think that is more tied to the quarterback. For I think too much so. You know, wins losses is considered a quarterback stat, and Super Bowl or not is more of a quarterback separator than it is for running back. So I think Derrick Henry, it would be a huge shame if they don't make a Super Bowl with him during this time, during this window of Derrick Henry greatness. But if he still has the greatness, then I think he'll still have that status.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. JD texts in and says, Derrick Henry is right behind Eddie, but needs a few more seasons to overtake him. Unpopular opinion of the day, Tannehill is going to soon overtake McNair as the number one quarterback in Titans history.
Okay, so in popularity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that means you win a Super Bowl. See, again, that goes to the winning more to the quarterback. Derrick Henry could have another 2,000-yard season next year. The Titans can go 9-7. We're still going to be talking a lot about Derrick Henry, right?
Yeah.
But it'll be blamed more on Tannehill if they go 9-7, which is part of, you know, that's part of the deal with quarterback. And it's why they make twice as much as running backs. To me, he's got a long way to go to get that. Now, I think he just had the best quarterback season a Titans quarterback has ever had. The performance is the best, I think. But popularity, boy, don't you guys think that's a long way?
I think he's still got a ways to go. I mean, McNair, and a part of his popularity, he was great on the field. But a lot of what endeared McNair to the fans was, you know, that guy had like a broken sternum or, you know, a leg halfway falling off, and he'd still get out there and play anyway. Like, it's kind of a different thing with Steve McNair that I'm not sure – anybody else can replicate just purely from a toughness standpoint. He was great on the field, and there were plenty of moments where it was magical. Obviously won a co-MVP with Peyton Manning. That final drive in the Super Bowl, even though they came up a yard short, was still one of the greatest things I have ever seen in my life by a quarterback. I mean, it was amazing what he was able to do on that drive. But I think a lot of what endeared McNair to Titans fans is just what it took to get that guy off the field. I mean, he would play through almost anything.
Yeah, and I'll say this too. Tannehill, I think his toughness has been apparent.
Yeah.
Now, he hasn't had that stuff. He hasn't had the sternum thing sounds just awful. And other than, knock on wood for him, he has not had these injuries here. But as far as toughness and throwing your body around and diving for the end zone, stuff that the coaches get mad about but the fans love, Tannehill has done that pretty well.
I mean, that was stuff of legend.
Yeah.
He wouldn't practice all week, and then goes out there and finds a way to win games. I mean, Ryan Tannehill, yes, he has displayed a lot of toughness, but what Steve McNair did was stuff of legend. The stories that Floyd would tell of Steve going through all that was always just amazing to just listen to.
Well, there's this clip out there, and I think it's from like one of those Titans NFL films season enders of like back in 03 or something. And it's a night game. The Titans are about to play the Jets, and Herm Edwards is the coach of the Jets. And there's this mic'd up segment of Jeff Fisher and Herm Edwards just talking before the game. And Jeff Fisher leans into Herm Edwards and says, I can't believe that my quarterback is about to play in this game. And Herm Edwards looks at him and is like, I can't. I told him all week he's going to play because I know what type of guy he is. It's just It's incredible. I think that kind of sums up what McNair was like here. So I think it's hard to compete if you're Tannehill from that aspect of it, because that part of it's just so much different than I think really any other quarterback has been from that discussion.
By the way, on the, and this is production, not popularity, but just one interesting stat going into this game. If Derek gets 147 rushing yards Sunday, he will pass Eddie George for first in franchise postseason history. So that's franchise. That's Earl Campbell. That's everybody. Right now, Derek has 630 postseason rushing yards. Pretty good for a young guy, you know, with a team that finally got past 9 wins this year.
Yeah, pretty incredible. No question about it. And speaking of another Alabama guy, Derrick Henry, Alabama guy, won the Heisman Trophy. Got another Alabama Heisman winner last night. Did the committee get it right? Did the right guy win the Heisman Trophy? We'll discuss that when we come back. But first, I have got a word from FanDuel. And football fans, listen up. I got the perfect way for you to make the playoffs even more exciting this weekend. It's called a same-game parlay bet, and they're only available on the FanDuel Sportsbook. A same-game parlay lets you combine multiple bets from a single game for an even bigger win during the wild card round. You can combine the money line, the over-under, and player props all in one parlay. And best of all, FanDuel is letting you place a same-game parlay bet risk-free. All FanDuel customers, you can get up to $10 back on your bet if you don't win. The playoffs are the perfect time to give one a shot. It's just one of the many ways to win on FanDuel. They've got great odds boosts, a range of betting options, live betting on every game. It's so easy to use, and they get you your money in as little as 24 hours. So if you haven't already, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up to get started. Use my promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, at sign up. That's promo code ROB at sign up. And if you're currently a customer, then you're all set. Just go check out the same game parlays only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $10. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.